A reading from the first letter of St. John. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is of God. Everyone who loves is begotten by God and knows God. Whoever is without sin and love does not know God, for God is love. In this way, the love of God was revealed to us. God sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might have life through him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as expiation for our sins. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Lord, every nation on earth will adore you. O God, with your judgment endow the king, and with your justice the king's son. He shall govern your people with justice, and your afflicted ones with judgment.
Lord,
the mountains shall yield peace for the people, and the hills justice. He shall defend the afflicted among the people, save the children of the poor. Justice shall flower in his days, and profound peace till the moon be no more. May he rule from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Marcum.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
When Jesus saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, and they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. But now it was already late, and his disciples approached him and said, "This is a deserted place, and it is already very late. Dismiss them so they can go to the surrounding farms and villages and buy themselves something to eat." He said to them in reply, "Give them some food yourselves." But they said to him, "Are we to buy 200 days' wages worth of food and give it to them to eat?" He asked them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out they said, 5 loaves and 2 fish. So he gave orders to have them sit down in groups on the green grass. The people took their places in rows by hundreds and by fifties. Then taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing, broke the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied, and they picked up 12 wicker baskets full of fragments and what was left of the fish. Those who ate of the loaves were 5,000 men. Verbum Domini. The multiplication of the loaves is in all four Gospels, this miracle, and in some of the Gospels twice, two occurrences of it. And the Church Fathers would see in this a prefigurement of the sacrament of charity, the Eucharist, where God strengthens us, where he feeds us, he provides for us in this deserted region that they're in. I believe in Mark's gospel here, they're in the Decapolis area. This is a Gentile territory. It's like an image of Moses leading the Israelites out of bondage through the desert. God raining down manna, feeding, providing for them where there is no food, where we have to rely on him alone. And that is true in the world today. The world can't feed us. It does have its own bread that it wants to give us, but it's not a life-giving bread. The bread that God gives us is the bread of his wisdom, of his love. We see in Mark's gospel that we're told that he begins to teach them. When he sees that they are abandoned without a shepherd, he begins to teach them. He gives them this bread of truth. And here in all this, we see God's initiative. It's not us perfecting ourselves. We see God's initiative. Romans 5:8 says, but God chose his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's such a powerful phrase, because we want to keep ourselves in the driver's seat, call the shots, achieve a perfection by our own light, what we see, and not receive this from God. The first reading today, 1 John 4:7 through 10, says, in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as expiation for our sins. He first says that love is of God, for God is love, you know, and that he loves us. So it's not that we have loved God. We're responding. God's taking the initiative. He's reaching out to us. It's not that we've loved God, but he has loved us and done all this to him. Now, we are to respond in love to him and to our brothers and sisters, but he comes to us first. And this is prophesied in Ezekiel, in the section on the Good Shepherd, Ezekiel 34, 15, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the crippled. I will strengthen the weak and the fat and the strong. I will watch over. I will feed them in justice. God's doing this. He's doing this in Jesus Christ. And we see an expression of his being the good shepherd. It says, when Jesus saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them. It means moved like this deeply felt gut reaction, this response to our situation. For they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. Sheep without a shepherd, without sound leadership, sheep get scattered, lost. They're vulnerable to the wolves, to the predators. Then we're told, but now it was already late, and his disciples approached him and said, this is a deserted place, and it is already very late. Dismiss them so they could go to the surrounding farms and villages and buy themselves something to eat. dismiss them. We don't know how to deal with this. It's a big problem. It's a problem. It's a bother maybe for them. Dismiss them so they can buy themselves something to eat, so they can provide for themselves. And Jesus tells the apostles here, give them some food yourselves. Give them some food yourselves. Wow, that really speaks into the heart of every shepherd, of every pastor, to rouse them to give of themselves, that they're ordained today, the priests, the bishops are ordained to provide this food of God, this bread of God. And the apostles here almost get sarcastic. Are we to buy 200 days' wages worth of food and give them enough to eat? ? You expect us, how do you expect us to feed them? Sounds sarcastic. And Jesus kind of springs into action and says, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. Get busy. Let's move here. I'm going to do something. They say 5 loaves and 2 fish. 5 loaves and 2 fish for a vast crowd. They don't have any resources of themselves. Some see in this number 5 and 2, 7, that Jesus works with. He takes the loaves, 2 fish, blesses, breaks the bread, gives it to his disciples, and that the 7 is a number of perfection. It's a completeness, a fullness. It's a universal a fulfillment of that. It speaks of the scope of salvation, that there's 12 wicker baskets left over, we're told, and the 7 initially starting speaks of this scope of the gospel. Pope Benedict often would write about this, that the covenant with the Jews was to be made universal. All were to be joined into covenant with God. So they're in this deserted Gentile region, and the 7 number is supposed to speak to them that this is for all. This is the fulfillment. This is the completeness, the wholeness. What we're doing here is a sign for the mission of the church, that it is sent into the whole world, that gospel is truly for all. So they all ate and were satisfied. They picked up the 12 wicker baskets full of fragments. The 12 symbolize the 12 tribes of Israel for this mission towards Israel, to even reunite the 12 tribes, and this universal mission to the Gentiles as well. All ate and were satisfied. This is in contrast to the bread of the world. If we see bread as bread's often spoken of in the Old Testament as wisdom of God, this teaching of God. And bread of the world, a secular bread, is a feeding of our pride oftentimes. It keeps us in the driver's seat, that we're not receiving, we're not dependent, we're calling the shots. And yet there's something in man that searches for a meaningful story to explain our situation. We can look at the news and see there's a problem in the world. We can feel an alienation, a disconnection even within ourselves. We can have a search for our own identity. The world preaches an identity for us, but it's not satisfying. It's not the bread that God gives us of our knowledge and understanding of our identity, that we're children of God. The bread of the world tells us there's no original sin. There's nothing wrong with you. It's them. It's out there. It's the oppressive structures that need revolution. nothing wrong with you. You don't have to repent. The problem's outside of us. And certainly there are evil structures. There's been horrible crimes against humanity and things that have happened. But first off, I have a problem with sin myself, a personal sin. I need conversion. Yes, there's a fallenness to the world, but I am born broken and weak and ignorant. I need help myself. I need to repent of my sin. Earlier in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1:15, says, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Mark is pretty pithy, right? He gets to the point. That's the first words of Jesus. Now is the time of fulfillment. We have the preparation of the prophets and the law before. Now the kingdom's at hand. It's going to begin, inaugurated on Calvary. Repent and believe. Repent and have faith in God. Faith in a creator, a redeemer, a sanctifier. That I need to repent. I need to change myself. And I could be part of this kingdom in its fullness. This personal transformation we're called to demands conversion, not just changing what's outside or what we see as external oppressions. Today, our world proclaims the salvation of knowledge, you know, that if I just have a deeper understanding of things, or a use of technology for personal fulfillment, or a use of techniques, life hacks. You can get online and look up a 2-page article on a life hack, which I love. You know, it's fun to read about stuff, how to do this better, time management, how to be more efficient, how to figure things out. That goes so far. I have a fallen human nature. I need more than techniques. I need more than technical power to save me. Knowledge alone can't save me. You know, if we just, quote unquote, let the experts run the world, it doesn't save us. We need the kingdom of God. We need the bread of wisdom, the bread of his love. He's reaching out to us to give us that. This miracle today, the multiplication, in a desert place, they're hungry, is fulfilled in the Eucharist. He comes to us in the most extraordinary way. That we come to the sacraments receiving baptism, know the forgiveness of sins, we confess our sins, we're repenting every day of our sins, we're surrendering to God, we can receive that bread of life, that bread of wisdom, that bread that transforms us and draws us into his body, his mystical body, that transforms us, that we can love our brothers and sisters, and that, yes, we can fight for change and justice. We can try to help others to make the world, to build a civilization of love. But it happens through God's work in us, that love he's poured into our hearts.